is a continuation. Okay, I didn't really find any the two Mordechais are back. How do you say Mordechai in Belashan Ravin? Mordechim? Mordechim. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakol Liyad Divarai. This year there are two Mordechais. This Purim Katan and Purim Gadol. There are two others. Mayor, what happened to Mayor?
My wife
tried to leave. She missed.
I have to say the plural of Ephraim.
Ephraim already is a plural. A plural. Yeah. It's a yud mem. Efer. How do you say the Lashon Yachid? Efer. Efer. Ash. Ephraim is two times Ash. Chazal say that. The Daz Zakenim, the Balam Tosfos, it's connected Avraham and Yitzchak. Avraham is Seranochi off of Efer, and Yitzchak is the Ayil. Ephraim shall Ayil Tzav Lufanaf. Yosef named his son after the others. Avraham and Yitzchak is Ephraim, and Yaakov is Menashe. Ki Nashani Elokim es Beis Avi. So he really named it after the others. Okay, anyway, let's go over here. We're up to here. Mizmor Yudbeis. Mizmor Yudbeis is a continuation of the previous Mizmor with David, called Derech Pshat, is coming to complain about the people who have betrayed him to Shaul. Shaul HaMelech, and specifically David, Doeg and Achitofel. Doeg and Achitofel were once upon a time David's loyal friends, and they turned on him. They turned on him because of jealousy, and we have yet to analyze what the relationship between David and the David Achitofel, and these are two different people, and each one of them had a different issue, a different problem, which Yirtz Hashem one day we have to uncover. But it's certainly all hidden in the Mizmor. Mizmor on page 100.
Why do we say, if you want to say someone's giving you a bad idea, say,
gave
you
Eitzas Achitofel? You say that?
Atzas.
I never heard,
never
yeah?
Heard
Atzas
never
Achitofel, I've never heard this. Okay, because Achitofel, okay, Yirtz Hashem, the day, hopefully, with Hashem's help, we will delve much more into Achitofel and Doeg. But at this moment, I don't know. I don't have clarity, and we'll Mirat Hashem one day try to uncover the secrets. But at least for now, this mizmar—it's always the most important thing. At least for me, when given the mizmar, is to know the context of when this mizmar was composed. What's the backdrop? And according to most of the Mefarshim on the page, it's referring to just basically a continuation of the last two or three mizmarim, where David is complaining about people that are pursuing him for no good reason, specifically in regard to Shaul. Shaul was the king. Shaul lost the Malchus. Shmuel came back to Shaul and said, because you have failed in your mission, you have disobeyed my command more than once. There are a few different events where Shaul failed as a king. And the straw that broke the camel's back was he did not execute a Amalek. He failed to kill Agag and the animals. He failed to every last member of Amalek. That was the last thing he did. But there were other issues that were leading up to this as well. And therefore, Shmuel told Shaul, Hashem has taken away from you the Malchus, and will give it to a person who is better than you. And who is that? That was David HaMelech. And this Ruach Hashem departed from Shaul, and that caused him to become paranoid, we would say, at least from our perspective, and very, very disturbed. And that led him to behave in an irrational and violent way, to try to pursue and murder David. And David was always on the run. To make matters worse, David was literally best friends with his son, Yehoshua's son, and David was married to Shaul's daughter. So it was extremely, extremely ugly. The fact that Shaul, and David until this point in time was his armor, he carried his armor, he carried his weapons, he was the closest person to Shaul. So all of these things together made a toxic situation where Shmuel told Shaul, you're losing the Malchus, it's going to be given to David. And David was one of his right-hand men, and Shaul couldn't deal with this. He just could not deal with the situation, and he was overcome with a spirit, a Ruach Ra, whatever this all means, and he pursued David to the nth degree. And David was vulnerable, David was running away, and David needed Hashem's help at this point in his life more than ever. And all of, and there were people that were with him that until this point were with him, but they felt that obviously that at the end of the day Shaul will be the winner, and therefore they wanted to be on the winning side. So they betrayed David. They betrayed David in many different ways for different reasons, and those people are Doeg and Achitofel. And here we have David complaining about these two individuals. Lamatzeach al Hashminis Mizmor leDavid, for the conductor who is stationed by Hashminis, or the Mizmor shall be sung with a musical instrument called the Shminis. We had this before. The Shminis is a harp that has eight strings. The harp in the time of David, the typical harp had seven strings. And this one particular had eight strings. When there are eight strings, it's a different type of music. A different type of sound comes forth from this type of instrument. Chazal, they say this instrument really alludes to the music of Yemos HaMashiach. Today, I don't know what this means. I have no idea what I'm saying, but Rabbi Moshe Wolfson, he talks about the piano. And he says the piano has seven white keys. I don't know the terminology, I don't know anything about music, but every cycle, every do, re, ni, fa, sol, la, ti, right?
Scale.
Every scale, there are seven white keys, and in those seven white keys, there are four black keys. Is that correct? Seven and four, or seven and three? I don't remember anymore. And those, it says if you were to play music on the white, just the white keys, this is a happy melody. The black keys add an element of sadness.
The minor,
if you just play the minor, it has a tone of sadness. And today music, there's no such thing today as pure joy. We don't have pure joy, therefore our music is on a scale of seven keys of joy. But mixed into the blend of those seven keys of joy, there are four keys of sadness. Le'osid lover, there will be a new piano. And on this new piano, this new scale, the scale will be eight white keys. There will no longer be the minor, only the major. And when you add one more key, the sum is greater than, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And a scale of only white keys creates an entirely different dimension of music, which we are not familiar with today. Add one more key, and you eliminate the dark, the minor keys. It's a completely different type of music. What this means, I have no idea to say words. And this is what it means over here, Lamatzech, for the conductor al Hashminis. This particular mizmor that we're about to learn is miyuchad for this type of music, shel le'osid lovoi. When the music, the scale will be eight keys, not seven keys, and it will only be keys of joy. There will be no pain and suffering mixed into our joy. We always say from Rav Shimon Schwab, when a person achieves a moment of intense joy, he cries. It's very common. You see parents, grandparents, when a person reaches a simcha at a wedding, at a simcha, tears of joy. So there are psychologists who have studied the mind, and they make the following argument. You can, I don't know if everyone agrees to this principle. When you see a person cry at a time of joy, these are really tears of pain. Because at an extreme, at that moment of joy in the mind, and this is something which you have to be a student of the mind, and if to agree to make a statement, to express an opinion if it's true or not. But there are those who state that when a person reaches a state of joy, it brings to mind all of the pain that was expressed to reach this moment. And the tears are really only tears of pain. There's no such thing as a tear of joy. When a person reaches the moment of simcha and tears come forth, those are really feelings of tsar that were deeply suppressed in a person and put away as a person struggled his entire life to reach this moment. And when he finally reaches success, a moment, a special, special moment, and it triggers somehow in the mind a release of the suppressed emotion of pain that went along all of this time until the person was merited to reach this spectacular moment of success. And that, he says, that's shot in the pasuk. We hear this by a levaya. Umocha Hashem Elokim Dima, Mocha Dima Me'al Kol Pan. So he says there, what do you mean Hashem, Hashem will remove tears from Me'al Kol Pan. See, I think it's even a chazal, if I'm not mistaken. Kol Afilu Dimahu Shel Simcha. So I don't know the exact words. Hashem in La'asalava will take away the tears from a person's eyes, even the tears of what would appear to be tears of joy. When a person makes a simcha, he won't cry. He won't cry. Why won't he cry at a simcha? Because the world will reach such a state of perfection, there will not be any suppression of agvas nefesh, frustration and pain, leading up to achieving success. And many will argue, adarava, that's no good. If no pain, no gain. Right? That's an expression, a very common expression. No pain, no gain. The only reason why there is joy, what? Lufum tsara agra.
The science section said that's not true, by the way.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. This whole idea, right. So I tried, that's why I was mocked him, is that this is an idea that he expresses in very elaborately in Sefer Yeshaya, Umach Hashem Elokim Dima Me'al Kol Panim, and he brings out this idea that some in the field of psychology state is a fact, which I can tell you is subject to debate, is that when the person cries at a time of joy, it's not, the tears are not tears of joy. It's a release of suppressed tsar. And that's what Chazal said, Lufi Tzara Agra. No pain, no gain. But La'asalavai, it's going to be a different type of world. And listen, we don't know what that means. What does it mean to be La'asal? What kind of world is that? What does that mean exactly? How do these things operate? And there, there's going to be pure joy and there will be no tears at all.
Where is there pain or the unhappiness of somebody's going to the wedding of his child or his grandchild?
It's in the mind. You have to talk to a psychologist because a thinking person, their entire life raising a child, and they worry about the child, they daven for the child. A mother, every single Friday night, she lights candles, she davens for a child every single Friday night. If a person gets married, let's say they're 25 years old, whatever it is. Their whole life, they're davening for this person. They took them to doctors. They had some serious events. There's no ein tzadik ba'aretz ha'shayas ha'tov lo yachta. Every person has incredible struggles in this world. And every parent, they have daigas about their children. I once heard a woman say that since she had her first child, she never got a full night's sleep. Since she gave birth to her first child. Never ever happened since then that she went to sleep for 6 hours straight. Never happened since then because I have a baby, got every 2 hours, 3 hours, and then the next baby, and this and this and this and this, and then have children.
Then you have
never have what?
And then you have a teenager.
A teenager. The diagnosis only get more and more. And it's very, very true. Parents were very loyal, very, very, very to their children, and they are hardworking.
Small children, small problems.
Big children, big problems. You got it. And then someone would say, you should get married, and you should stay married. It's like part of the nusach. In marriage, it doesn't matter. You grow up.
And how many times?
and you get married, and you stay married. It's part of the sprach of like, you know, just because you get married, it ain't over. You know, it's always, you know, life. So when a person experiences a simcha, wow, how did I get here? You know how many obstacles I had to overcome to reach this milestone? It brings up subconsciously the suppressed pain in a person's psyche. And it comes out. And some psychologists argue a tear that comes forth from the eye is only triggered from pain. There's no such thing as a tear from joy. Okay, I can tell you that's subject to debate. Rav Shimon Schwab says if that's talking, that is true, then what it, then you understand what it means in the pasuk. Umocha shemalukim dima, tears me'al kol ponim. What's the word kol? I think it's a chazal. Afilu, he's interpreting chazal in reference to this. Afilu dimahu shel simcha. Even a tear of joy. Go to a wedding, grandchild, the grandparents not going to cry. Why not? What's so bad? What's so terrible? Why don't they cry? Okay, so he says because in that tear is really tzar. In a perfect world, there's not going to be any suppression of pain. So what does that mean? Avichol pointed out that's not the way the world goes. The way that we live, lefi tzara agra, no pain, no gain. It's built in. Okay, I don't know. And the reason why I'm telling you this idea is because that's what it, here we're dealing with the Shminis, the musical instrument called eight. What does that mean? So Rabbi Moshe Wolfson says exactly this idea. He says this is what he says. I don't know where he gets from the piano. After studying the history of the piano, who invented the piano? Who? Where did it come from? The piano. Who invented this music? How all these things? There are these the halacha lashon. We see that. Well, these are just conventions that were made up by goyim. I don't know. But he writes. This is what he says. What is Mukhar is? I don't know. He says this on the piano or in the world of music, which I know nothing about. There's something called a scale. In a scale, there are seven major keys. On the piano, they're the white keys, and then there are four black keys, the minor. If you press the minor keys, try to make music with just the black keys on your piano, it's very morose. It's sad. It has a tone of gloom and doom. Frankenstein.
The
what?
Music, they call the minor keys, I referred to as, the music teacher one time that was said that he heard my cousin was playing on the piano when he came in. He said, I could tell you were playing Jewish music because you were using a lot of the minor.
Interesting. The minor keys, it's a certain sadness.
He didn't know the song, but he said, you're playing Jewish music, aren't you?
Aha, because you use more minor. Interesting.
Right.
The minor have a tone of that evokes in the mind sadness. The major keys are uplifting.
This may be related to sharp and flat keys. In other words, F sharp and E flat.
Okay, I'm not familiar.
So
right.
If you consonant the flat, flat is...
Morose.
Nice thing, I only use flat.
So, Rabbi Wolfson, he says that the morose keys, which he calls the black keys, will be eliminated from the piano. They'll be taken away. And in order to enhance the white keys, there'll be an additional key added to the scale. And there will be eight white new piano with a scale of eight keys, and no eight white keys and no black keys, and that will demand an entirely new composition. That will force all of the talented musicians to rewrite all of the melodies. It'll be a completely different dimension of music that we're totally unfamiliar with, which only has joy. Only joy. It's an entirely different type. That's what it's called. Now, let me just show you, it's very interesting, which maybe we should start off over here. You look over here first, it's the Perish Harid. The Perish Harid. On page 100. Page 100, look at the last line of it. It's under Rashi. The second commentary, it says, Umizmar zeh, Chiber David al Doeg va'achi Soifel. This mizmar is in response to Doeg and Achi Soifel. We're going to see this mizmar. Page 100. The very last, the last parish on Rid. Right below Rashi, on the right side.
Yes, it does.
Look at the last line.
Oh, this
in Beis. Yeah. Pasuk Beis. Pasuk, the last line. Pasuk Beis. Umizmar zechi b'david aldeig v'achi sefo. Now that's important because the entire Mizmar, more or less, is about those who slander. Loshoin hora. The Chofetz Chaim has a field day with this Mizmar. This Mizmar deals more or less with the sin, the Aveira, all the famous psukim, not all, many of the famous psukim that describe the crime, Aveira of the Medabre Lashon Hara, are found in this Mizmar. All about, and that means Davin, Achisofel, they are the epitome of the of those that are Nichshol in the terrible Aveira of Lashon Hara. This is his few words of Hagdama. Others say, I remember exactly.
When do you see the words Lashon
The Mizmar, as we're going to learn the Mizmar, we're going to see. The Mizmar is going to speak primarily about the sin of Lashon Hara. We're going to see, look at Pasuk Dalet. Right away, look at Pasuk Dalet. It says, Yachres Hashem kol sifsei chalokois. Lashon medaberes gedolois. Okay, then it goes on and on. From there on, it really just talks about those who speak, those who have a problem with their Kecha Dibur. They don't know how to keep themselves in. There's a small Mizmah, the short Mizmah. The thrust of the Mizmah we're going to see is the people who don't know how to talk. The liars, they're deceitful, they speak Lashon Hara, smooth talkers. There's a lot of good stuff here about the Medabri Lashon Hara. Okay, so this, and therefore the Rid is coming to identify that the one that gets the gold medal for Lashon Hara is Doeg and Achi Sofer. They spied on David. And all of the, anything bad they could find about David, they reported back to Shaul in order that Shaul should succeed in wiping him out. And obviously they thought that they would be rewarded with getting good positions in government and having a wonderful life. That was not so. All right, now let's, and pretty much, I think the other Mepharshim, I don't remember exactly where every word is, because I put my notes in a different one, a different save that I don't have here with me today. But they all pretty much say it's pretty much the same idea. It's a continuation of the last two, three Mizmorim, where David is complaining about being pursued by Shaul. Okay, now that's not the only. Now remember, we have to remember that when we learned the other Mizmorim, we learned even Rashi mentioned some said it refers to the time of Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was the subject of the Mizmor. And David was praying for Chizkiyahu that he should succeed, not fall into the hands of Sancheirith. All right, that was the previous Mizmor. It doesn't say it over here. Now there's an incredible Malbum though. Not about Minchas Erev. Minchas Erev on page 101 on the right side. Let's read it inside. Lamasech al Hashminis Nehagin Loimar Mizmor Ze Biyom Sheyesh Bris Milo. Okay, on a day when there's a bris milah, it seems that, you know, after davening is over, we say the shir shel yoyim. So it seems that there are some communities where they had a custom, I don't think we have this today, where they would say this mizmar after davening, when before the bris milah would begin. Or maybe, you know, if you go to a bris milah, a good moyel, he tells the olam, Rabbeisai, when the baby cries, it's an ace rotzoin, and it's a good time to say Tehillim. And they'll tell you that you should say Mizmor Vav. Achoneni Hashem ki umlal oni, which basically is Tachanun. You think you get away with not saying Tachanun on the day when there's a bris milah? You don't get away with it. You just save it for later. You just save it for when the baby cries. And if anyone ever tried to daven then, it's really amazing. You try to daven, you can really feel that you got a shot. You know, there are certain times, everyone here knows that there are certain times when you daven, you feel like someone is listening. Hashem is always listening, of course. But there are certain times when there's a certain connection. Go to the Kaisel. Many people will tell you when they go to Kever Rochel. They go to Kever Rochel, they have this tremendous feeling of connection. Go to Kever Rochel. Kaisel, okay, so the same thing is true at a bris milah. Try it, just give it a shot, you'll see. At a bris milah, when the baby cries, before the baby cries, as the prepping baby getting ready for the bris milah, you say Mizmar Vav. Not we learn Mizmar Vav. That's basically Tachnun. Because that Mizmar, it says, Choneni Hashem, please Hashem show me favor, ki umlal ani. I am circumcised. I have a bris milah. Which means Mizmar Vav, that we say every single day, twice a day, as Tachnun, relates to bris milah. Okay, we learned that. That was what we learned in Mizmar Vav. We spent a lot of time with that. But there's another Mizmar. That's not the only Mizmar that focuses on bris milah. This Mizmar as well, this Mizmar doesn't seem to be as popular as Mizmar Vav. But this Mizmar, it says to the Farish in the Minchas Erev that there are communities that have the custom on a day when there's a bris milah to recite this Mizmar. And he says, "Yer mehagim loymar Mizmar zebiyom sheyesh bris milah v'atam." What's the reason? Why? Evshar b'shvil shekaseba imrois Hashem amarois taras. So this can be part of what it says the Mizmar going later on. And this literally means the words of Hashem are pure. The imrois Hashem, the words of Hashem are Amarois to Harois, pure words. Now, what does that mean? Lufim derech pshat, it means Torah. Torah, Hashem's words that are written in the Torah are Tahar. Toras Hashem Timino, Meshivas Nafsh. You know, all the beautiful psukim that we say on Simchas Torah. Timima, they emphasize Timima there. I think we say this passage. One of the Hakafas, I think this is one of the psukim that is said. In the words of Hashem are words that are pure. Now, there's a drasha. Sos anoichi al im roisecha kimoitzei shalol rav. It's a very famous pasuk. Sos anoichi, I rejoice upon your words. It's as if I found spoils of war, great, great reward. Sos chazal darshin, those words. Sos anoichi al im roisecha kimoitzei shalol rav. Specifically in reference to bris milah. Why is that in reference to bris milah? I don't know. Sus, somehow the word sus represents bris milah. By the way, that is why there's another drush why you wear tefillin. Unfortunately, people take off their tefillin for some reason. But at least the moyel, a good moyel, and the avi haben, if you go to a serious bris milah, the avi haben and the moyel will be wearing tefillin at a bris milah. The moel does not take off his tefillin, and the sandik does not take off his tefillin, and the avi haben does not take off their tefillin. They're makbid to keep their tefillin on. The only time the moel takes off the tefillin is there's some moyalim feel that they're not they don't have full control. Their dexterity is reduced when they're all tied up. So sometimes the moel, some moyalim, they take off their tefillin. They feel that it's not in the best interest of the child. So they take off their tefillin, but al pi halacha, it is ideal that everyone, not only them, it is ideal that everyone in shul should keep their tefillin. The Mishnah Berurah. When my father once Israel Shepherd Feinstein, Zechat Zag Levracha, father Zechat Levracha, Rabbi Yisroel of Feinstein was right to my father said, how come the Olam, you never see the Olam today, the Nizar, and what it says in the Mishnah Berurah, that everyone should keep on their tefillin during the Bris Milah. So he told my father, you're right. It's because people are not, the kedusha of tefillin is so great. Unfortunately, that today maybe it's not such a good idea to keep your tefillin on because people are going to talk and they're going to say who knows the lashon hara. Whatever people they make they're very. When you wear tefillin, you have to be nalabi mesiach das.
Originally, they wore tefillin all day.
They wore, but when you're wearing tefillin, you have to elevate yourself to be. You have to have be very careful in the kedusha of tefillin. Today, you see what goes on by words. People are talking. They're schmoozing, talking about politics, talking about this, that. If and many times there's a delay, a bris milah doesn't always go so smoothly until the baby is ready, the kavata, this and that, the kibbutzim, everyone comes, there are delays. So people are, it's going to be a very big tircha for the tzibur to, you know, to maintain a high level of concentration with their tefillin on. Maybe it's not such a good idea, everyone should be wearing tefillin, a zilzul in the kedusha of tefillin. But Me'ikar hadin, a person should really keep his tefillin on during bris milah, and there are many reasons why. Pashut shad is because they're both called an ois. Tefillin is called an ois. V'hayolcha le'ois al yodecha al yodcha an ois, and bris milah ki oisi beinu veinechem. You want to mingle the oisos. But there's another pshat, and that's this part that we just said. Sos. Anoichi al imrosa. I rejoice over your words. The word sus means to rejoice. What do you have on your tefillin? Two sins. Two on the left side and the right side. There is the shin that has the three heads and the shin that has the four heads. There are two shins on top of your tefillin. What do those two shins or sins, what do they, when you put them together, what does it say? Sus, to rejoice. Sus, to rejoice. So when you're doing Bris Milah is the keel of the pasuk of sus. Therefore, it is appropriate you should be wearing your tefillin, which have on it the word sus.
What's the four, shin with the four types, four pieces?
There are two shins.
Yeah, but one, but the shin was three and the shin was four. What's the shin with four?
What's the significance of the shin with four? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. It's Kabbalah. In Yoni Kabbalah, I don't know. It's a mystical. Some say it's because you want to have seven branches. When you put on your tefillin, what do you say? Shemin hatoiv torik al shiva kinei ha-menorah. On the seven branches of the menorah. So there are, the shin of three has three branches. The shin of four has four branches. Mr. Marillis, my math teacher taught me once upon a time that 3 + 4 = 8 - 1. Krum, right? 7. 3 + 4 = 7. There are seven branches. So there are two shins. There's the Kabbalistic shin, and there is the ordinary shin. The shin of four heads.
The shin with the four branches, of course, the shin is in the spaces.
Okay, that's another pshat, that the white space. The white space is a shin of three. The in between, the inverse, the right. So that's another pshat. The shin of four branches is really a shin of three branches, but it's the invisible shin. There's a shin that's revealed and a shin that is concealed. That's one shot. And then there is the shin, because of whoever said a shin is only three branches. A shin, there are different types of shins. There's a shin of three, four. What would happen in the Sefer Torah if a Sefer would write all the shins in a Sefer Torah with four branches? Would it be possible? I'm not so sure it's possible. I don't remember that. You have to be ma'ayin in this. If you write a Sefer Torah and the Sefer has a shin of four, every single shin there are four branches. Does that pass in the Sefer Torah? Writing a shin, is that really a shin that's possible? Could be. I don't remember. You have to check this out.
Why do you say this pasuk before Ki Yishalcha?
I don't know. I'm sure there are some good reasons. It could be because the Ki Yishalcha, we're coming from what do we have? Bris Milah. Bris Milah, Sos, and Rechal, and Kimonetra, when we come from the Shbaruch Hu, Dov HaMelech said, he was in the base on the Erechatz. He was naked. And he looked at himself, he was naked. And this triggered a thought that before Hashem, I am naked. Meaning, I have nothing in this world. I have nothing. What I did, I learned the Daf Gemara. I did a little chesed. Could a person really say he did the chesed and the Shem Shemayim? Can you really say that everything you do in this world is the Shem Shemayim? David said, what do I have? And then he realized that he is circumcised. Oh, I have a Bris Milah. I have a Bris Milah. So the Bris Milah represents even when you have nothing, you got something. It represents, and also why is that? Because who has performed the Bris Milah? Your father. Bris Milah is unique. It's a mitzvah saben al ha'av. It is a mitzvah that is done to a child. And who does the obligation fall upon? One's father, which means Bris Milah is the connection to the Messiah. You're a link. So even if I have nothing to offer, I'm a link in the Messiah. So that's enough. So when you come on the Yom HaDin before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you blow the Shofar is the moment of the Yom HaDin, moment of Din. Listen, Hashem, I got nothing. What can I say? A whole year went by. What did I accomplish? Nothing. But have rachmanis, because at least for my zechus avos, I'm a link in the Messiah. Who did this Bris Milah to me? Who? My father. It was his obligation to make sure I had a Bris Milah. And who did it for him? His father. At least I am a link in the Messiah. Okay, so the word sus is a very powerful pasuk. Sus onalchi al imrasecha ki moitzei sholav. I rejoice over your mitzvahs as if I found a discovery of a great of spoils, of a windfall. I won the lottery. And this pasuk is used in so many different ways. I just told my bris milah, we wear tefillin, because the tefillin have two sins, and which spell the word sos, it alludes to this pasuk. And this pasuk is explicitly darshan in reference to bris milah. Now that we know that, now we can understand why this pasuk is said by a bris, this mizmar is recited after davening by a bris milah. Number one, obviously, lamatzech lashminis. Number one, it says lamatzeach for the conductor lashminis eight on the musical instrument that has eight strings, the harp of eight. Which, of course, whenever you mention number eight, you're right away entering into the world of bris milah, because bris milah is bayoyim hashmini on day number eight. And then the Mizmah goes on to say the words that Imrois Hashem, the words of Hashem, Amorois Tohorois, are pure. The word Imrois Amorois is a code word for Sos Onoichi Al Im Rosecha. Same word. Sos Onoichi Al Im Rosecha. Is it Imrom Rosecha? I don't remember. Im Rosecha or Im Rosecha? Imrosecha. So when it says her Imrois Hashem Amarois Toharois, it's a code word for Bris Milah. So therefore, what better mizmor is there in Tehillim that should be said by a Bris Milah other than this? This is what it says right now. He goes on, he says some really incredible stuff now.
The Minchas Erev. I wonder if you just tell him, you asked why you say that before Shofar blow, because you are happy that God gave you the opportunity. Long shofar is already the tshuva, supposedly. You're very happy that God gave you the opportunity to do tshuva. I mean, who says it's not cumulative?
It's a tremendous joy.
But you get opportunity. One time a year, so tshuva exists so that you could do and expunge your.
Beautiful. It's an opportunity. You take joy in the opportunities that Hashem.
An opportunity now to do tshuva. I mean, it's a bracha that God gives you that joy, that chance.
Absolutely. So listen to the words over here in the Mincha Senef. My Hagila Mamizma Zabiyam Shesh Bris Mila, Vyatamev Shabishwil Shakasiba, Imrois Hashem Amarois Taharois, Vihya Mila, Kimoda at Omar Sos on the Hi al Imrosecha. Okay, or Oi, another interpretation, Oya Shalpi Masha Kosa by Chosid, the Baal Rashis Chachma, Bashar HaKadusha, okay, one of these famous sefer called the Rashis Chachma. In the Shar and Perik called Shar Kedusha, Perik and Aleph, Shashnei Brisais Yesh Mechuvin Zegenedan. Now this is an incredible idea. This is if you want you can say it's Kabbalah, and if you want you can go to a psychologist and discuss this with him, and it's a very powerful idea. Zegenedan Zeh Bris Haloshen Bris Hamor. Now the word Bris Hamor is it basically means. Basically, the word I don't know what the word Ma'or means. Anyone know what the word Ma'or means literally? It refers to the Bris Milah, meaning the covenant of being like a Shoivavim, being careful what you see, because what you see will cause a person to be Maitzi Zera Levatol. Okay, the Goyim don't. It says the Goyim have no. They don't understand this. Going on this is the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael comes from Shmira Sabris. Not to that, the person's reproductive organ is sacred. And it's not to be abused. And it's not to be used in any frivolous or degrading way. It is Kodesh Kodoshim. And the Goyim have no understanding of this. Absolutely no clue to what this means. Klal Yisrael, there's something called the Shmiras Habris. These weeks, Shoivavim, Shmois, Ve'er Bo, this whole Tukuf of the year is devoted to the Mechazek matters relating to what the Bris Milah represents, the Shmira on this part of the body, which involves your whole life, and involves obviously what a person sees has an enormous effect, percolates in his mind, has enormous effect on the kedusha of the Bris Milah. So he says over here something very, very fascinating. A person who has a loose tongue, there's a correlation between the two which is not obvious. which is definitely not obvious, and you have to really, really think deeply about this. A person who is loose with his tongue is the same personality, the same character trait that will fail to guard the bris milah. You'll ask, what's the difference? A person can be extremely careful, shmiras seinayim, guards what he sees, he's extremely careful in these matters, and he has a loose tongue. He's the first one to gossip. If you want to know what's going on in the world, you go to him, he'll tell you all the Lashon Hara. Yenta will tell you everyone's business and tell you all the garbage. So in that matter, he has a problem. There are people that have a problem with their demon. We know that. And we know there are people that are out of control when it comes to the bris milah. Who says they're the same? Who says that this personality trait is the same? You know, there are different, like, there are a lot of studies of people who commit certain types of crimes, and if there are certain people that they commit one type of crime, that type of person is not a suspect for committing a different type of crime, because it goes with the territory. There are certain things psychologists understand how the mind works. Who says a person with a loose tongue has an issue with Shmiras HaBris? So the Reish is Chochmah, okay, and this is what he's saying, and I never thought about this idea, but he says this, and it's very, very interesting, and yeah, I'm very curious to hear what, you know, if you talk to a psychologist, a real psychologist, who really, you know, a religious psychologist, for real, who really studies the depth of the human condition, what they have to say about this. And he writes, they're totally zeh bezeh. It's the same character trait, the same weakness. Person masters shmira in his dibur is the same person that will be successful to guard the bris milah, and the benefit is to elevate himself in tremendous kedusha. Okay, it's a given that those who are careful with bris milah merit kedusha, sanctity, and that's a very great reward to have.
Exhibits control,
sanctity, but it's more than just control. A certain control, right?
It's the psyche of a person.
Correct. So it's a certain control. I never appreciated this until really recently. Is that, you know, you talk about speech. Okay, there are people that have a problem. They say Lashon Hara. But you know what's even the biggest challenge is to keep a secret. It's very interesting. The ability to really, really, even when it's not Lashon Hara, the ability someone tells you something in confidence, and just don't tell, keep it to yourself. You discover something, even if it'll be outside the world of Lashon Hara. It's not going to affect anyone. It's not going to harm anyone. It's just a secret. The ability to keep a secret is an incredible koyach, incredible nisayon. Every person knows secrets. And it's always very geshmak to tell someone else the secret. So, of course, you got to be careful, because you tell someone that you reveal a secret, you can get into a lot of trouble. But until the time comes, years later, And it's very, and I know it's interesting to find the Gedolei Yisrael, the real Gedolei Yisrael, they know how to keep secrets. You always wonder, I have this theory, I don't know if it's true or not. You see certain people, they rise to the top. You know, over the years, you go look back, you look at history, they become, they're Gedolei, they recognize as being very, very great people. And you study them, and you're not necessarily impressed. Why him? Why did he have this siyata d'shmaya to rise to the top? He's not known to be the biggest Talmud Chacham. He's not known to be the biggest Bal Chesed. He's not even known to be a big Bal Midos. And I sort of have this hunch, I don't know if it's true, but some of them have a koyach to keep a secret. People come to them the whole day and tell them information, and they really do not in any way, shape, or form ever abuse that confidence, that trust, and reveal information. That is a trait that is gold. That's one of a kind. Many people can't handle that. They have secrets they tell their wife, they tell their kids. And just casually, by no one's fault, it just, you know, slips out. To be able to really, really guard a secret, even if it's not in the realm of Lashon Hara, is an incredible, incredible koyach that very few people have, at least I feel. Very few people really have that koyach of guarding secrets for real. That's greatness. And here he says this incredible idea. Sheshnei brisos yesh, there are two brisos, yesh, mechuvon ze kineged ze. They correlate with one another. Bris haloshoin, ubris hamo'or. Mo'or, I don't know what the word means. I tried to look this up. I couldn't really find, get clarity. What it means, the word mo'or means to arouse. Anyone know what this word means, mo'or?
Or maybe, or the
what?
Or
light,
the
Arla. Okay, then Arla. Ha me the mem the Arla. I in the resh.
Okay.
Yeah, could be. Which obviously in the context here means the kemoishe the bris hamor hamotzi zera levat Arla. A person guards the bris mila shmiras habris. That's what it's called today. Today in Shoivim, it's called shmiras habris. He's called Ra. Kain bibris haloshoin loshoin hora. It's called Ra. Hamoitzi mila levatola kimoitzi zera levatola. A person that says a word levatola, a person that says, you know, abuses the koyach hadibur. Ulekach amar nitzar loshoincha guard yeloshoin me ra. Uber Sham Shazet Toli Bazet. In the Reishas Chachma, he says a profound concept. The two are related. Sha'al Yidei Sha'iver Upo'er Piv Bidvarm Hu Asudim Umoyal Bibris HaLoshein Yavoy Gamkein Lavor Al Bris HaMo'or. It's Toli Zebiz. A person that's not careful with the way he talks, it's all the same. It leads to the same flaw. And that's a much more serious issue. I mean, they're both very serious issues, obviously. Ayin sham barichus, the alkein b'mizmo haramus al hamila klal inyan lashon hara. And that is why in this mizmor he's saying an incredible idea, minchas erev. This mizmor, if you study it very carefully, is bringing together exactly the principle that is brought out by the Reish Chachma. There's going to be over here allusions to the bris mila, and there's going to be a discussion about the koyach hadibur. Obviously, the major chunk of this mizmor talks about Lashon Hara, as we're going to see that Yachres Hashem called Sivsei Chalokos. This is like one of the classic psukim that focuses on Lashon Hara. And Mitzad Sheini, Lanatzech HaMashminis. We're focusing on the Bris Mila. Shmini is number 8. 8 is the Bris Mila. And they're going to be, and over here, Imrois Hashem, Amorois Toharos. Sos Anoichi Al Im Rosecha. Bris Mila, and there'll be more allusions, and these two things are talui ze bo ze. Okay, that's our hakdama to this mizmar. There really is more. We're going to see over here. I'm going to do a little more in the Likutei Shas. He has some beautiful things. Let us run through a couple of pesukim first, and we'll come back. So la batzech alat shminis mizmar lo David. Ho yishi al wheel. Let's do a few pesukim together. Ho yishi Hashem, save me. Save Hashem. Let's say save me. Save Hashem. Ki gomar chosid. Now, there are no longer chassidim in this world anymore. Chassidim means not what we call someone who is a strimal, of course. It means people who do lifnim mishura sadin. People are very makbid. Everything has to be hakpada. Don't cut the line. Don't do this. Don't do that. When there's absolutely no room, people are very strict on demanding what they're entitled to. No one is willing to give you any slack. Gomar means it ceased to exist, a chassid, ki fasu emunim mibnei adam. Fasu is a word that does not appear anywhere else. Fasu is ceased to exist. Rashi will say, ofsu. They have been ingathered, like died. They're gone. And in fact, some of the Mefarshim that this Mizma is referring over to times of Yimos HaMashiach, times of Yimos HaMashiach, where there will be, the world will be dominated by wicked people. And the tzaddikim don't exist. There's no one to go to. There's no one even to talk to, because the world has become so corrupt. There are no, it has ceased to exist. What fasting really here means is sitting as ki gomar chosid, the pious individual is no longer. Kifasu emunim, they have been gathered in, they have died, faithful people, mibnei adam, from mankind. We think Shutai, as we said before, David is saying this in reference to his followers, his group. David had at one time a collection of people to whom he could trust, whom he could talk to, whom he could commiserate with. And now they all have betrayed him. Doeg and Achitofel, they're gone. They've joined the other side. And David is all alone. I have no one to whom I can trust. The chassid is gone, the emunim are gone. That's the Pshut Shal Mikra. Balderech Drush, it refers to the time of the history in the world when the world will be dominated by the evil people. I think the Radak may have said that. Look over here at the Radak, Pasuk Aleph, page 101. Lam natzech al hashminis kvar perashti, tam al hashminis, v'zeh ha-mizmor nemar, beruach ha-kodesh al he'osit. Okay, another interpretation. Al dar shehoyu miskabrim horishoim al ho'aniyim. Okay, another pshat. Besides Zein Achitayfel, besides Bris Mila and a mizmor, another pshat, this is a nevuah, reference to a generation. Doesn't necessarily say that this generation is Yimos HaMashiach. There can be generations scattered throughout history where in that generation there's no one to turn to. It's a wicked generation where there are no pious individuals. Next Pasuk says, Pasuk Gimel, Shav Yedabaru Ish El Reyehu. You have to read the words backwards. Sorry? Esrayeyu. Each man speaks to his friend with nonsense. Shav is nonsense. Sefas halakois, with a lips smooth talk. Belev volev yedaberu. Now, what does that mean? Let's see over here these two psukim now together. Pasuk Aleph Beis and Gimel in the verse in the Mitzudas David on page 101 Hoshea. David pleads, "Al hinatzel, save Hashem, linatzel miyad shaul." The Mitzudas David will be learning l'shita. So continuously, these mizmorim are describing David as a victim of shaul. Save me from shaul. Ki gomar chosid, kol chosid min oilam v'lo yimatzi limchoitz biyad shaul. There is no one that will give musar to shaul to stand up to his corruption. What he's trying to do, he's trying to murder me for no good reason. There is no one that is willing to fight my cause, to be melamed zuchus. Fasu, the word fasu means kolu, ceases to exist. Anshe emuna, men of faith, vidabu, disappeared. Fine. Vidabu lai olai koza bifnei shol. And what do they do? They own all the people that all of his followers, they speak lies before shol. Pasuk Gimel, Shav Yidabru, Ma Shemidabrim, what they speak, Rakois Heim Shav. Shemidabrim, Ma Shemidabrim, Rakois Heim Shav. What does it mean, Rakois? It means soft. I don't know what that means. The words that they speak to Shaul are lies. Ki Loichein Im Machshavoysam. They don't have good intent. Belev, Volev yedaberu. What does the Lord? What do those words mean? Ki ilu haloshon yedaber b'shlichus lev hoechad v'halev hasheni bal ima. Okay, there are two hearts. A person is called. He's conflicted. Their hearts. He learns of it. One. They speak with one heart, and in their minds, they really have another heart. They are conflicted. They know.
Two faced.
Two-faced people, right? Duplicity.
Ki ilu, it's too hard, it's not two-faced.
When they speak to David, only one heart is speaking. They have another heart that knows the MS, which they suppress. Ki ilu, look how he tried to the heart, so it's a hard expression. Ki ilu haloshoin, the tongue, tidaber is speaking, bishlichus leiv ho'echot, the heart of one, but the halev hasheni balimo. A person's other heart is not with him. There's the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Toiv. The Yetzer Hara is a lave, and the Yetzer Toiv in this pasuk is also a lave. When the tongue gives forth words, it's acting as an agent of only one of the two hearts. The heart of the Yetzer Hara, which is speaking lies. So we'll read words going to be very quickly. Look at the pasuk Gimel. Shav Yidabru. Ra min Uraf. There is a pasuk levavav. It says, you have to eis Hashem lokecha b'chol levav levavicha. Okay, there's another pasuk that says, there's a pasuk that says two hearts. I forgot where it says in Kriya Shema. Maybe there's a drasha where it's that means your heart. There are two bases. That's why levavicha. I think Chazal make a drasha. Why is the word constructed with two bases? Two bases to tell you that the person has two hearts. You have the heart that is controlled by the Yetzer Hara and the heart that is controlled by the Yetzer Toiv. And the goal is to serve Hashem with both of your hearts. The Yetzer Toiv and the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Toiv should overpower the Yetzer Hara, and you should sanctify Hashem with your Yetzer Hara. You should use the desire to have good food, have good enjoyment in this world. You should elevate that for a higher purpose. So when a person does not succeed in that mission of taking the Yetzer Toiv and using it to overcome the Yetzer Hara, and you make a machitza between the two, then when the Yetzer Hara does its thing, the Yetzer Toiv, the Yetzer Hara has the control. The same idea over here. Shav Yidabru Isha Rehu, each man speaks to his friend lies. Sifas Chalokos, persons, they talk smooth talk, lips that are smooth, which means that it's nonsense. You know how to manipulate the facts. Belave, sfas chalokois belave, volave yedaber, belave, volave yedaber. I still can't get my finger on what he means over here, how to translate the words literally. Belave, volave yedaberu. In the Mitzudah, it's that we put the two words together. Ki ilu chaloshoin tedaber belashlichus leiv ho'echad. Vehalev hasheni balimo, belave. Volev yedaber. I don't know. I don't have a handle on what he means to say, how to literally translate the words. He says there are two hearts in this pasuk. One heart is acting as the agent, and the other heart is in disagreement and keeps quiet. Let's maybe see Rashi. Rashi pasuk Aleph al Hashminis kinor shel shmona nimin. First Rashi says, we discuss at great length, the Shminis is, Rashi learned the Shminis is a harp. Okay, when I told you from Rabbi Wolfson, I told you about a piano. The Mitzrashi makes it very clear the Shminis is a musical, it is a string instrument. A string instrument which is calling the kinar. We like to translate the kinar as a harp. Not everyone agrees that the kinar is a harp. There are commentators that learn the kinar is some type of musical instrument, maybe there will be other. It's not necessarily called a harp. We like, you know, all the beautiful
some sort of string instrument, right. Like a lyre or
We look maybe it's something like a violin or a cello. Who says that the kinar is all the paintings of David? They show with the, who says it's a harp? Okay, Kabbalah in the Kabbalah. But I remember once upon learning the discussion that the kinar could very well be something similar to what we call a violin. Not a violin, maybe too small. Maybe something like cello, something a little bit bigger. But over here it says this instrument called the kinar shel shmoina nimin has eight, not seven. Gomar means kola, cease to exist. Pasir Mechol, you want to help us with this word over here?
Alert to lack or fail.
Pasu?
He sees the word fail.
It's a whole different translation then. It means to fail. Pasu, the Mitzudas David said it means they cease to exist. Here,
yeah,
he
goes with the translation of disappear.
Okay.
But in Rashi, to fail.
Vayigva vayiosef elamoth. The word asif means to be ingathered. And we use it in reference to death. Here it says, kmoy ofsu. Does it mean over here in this context that they died? Does it mean that the Emudim are dead? Or does it just mean is that they have retreated? They have retreated into their own quarters. They're not out in the street, out there in order to fight, in order to protest. Afsu, they have gathered themselves in to seclusion. They don't want to come forward and protest Shaul's corruption. V'chein pasar menachim, ki fasu emunim mibnei adam, hakol mishakrim bi. Everyone is a liar. It's a world of lies. U'miraglim es hamikoymos, they spy on me. They spy on the locations, asherani mitzchabi, where I'm hiding sham. U'magidim l'shol, they tell Shaul where I am. Haloi brings a pasuk. Haloi David mistateri manu. David is with us. So over here, David is complaining that it's an alma de shikra, a world of sheker, and everyone is out to get me. Wherever I go, I have to watch my back. Someone is spying and relating the information of where I'm located. They're coming to get me. Pasuk gimel belay volayf.
So could fasu come from Ephes? Is that what?
He's saying? That's what he's saying. He's saying very good. Ephes. Yes. Ephes. Ephes is. Efes, very good. I didn't realize that. The word pasu comes from to Efes, zero. Efes. In modern Hebrew, Efes means zero. But that's not over here, that's not what it means over here. In this, it means it's in gap. Vayigva vayeosef el amov. It means to perish, to die, to be collected.
To be non-existent.
When, expire like this. Vayigva is to expire. Vayeosef el amov typically is translated that he, they say when a person dies, his parents, his grandparents, his teachers, they all come to him a Kabbal to take him, to gather him in, to bring him, to escort him into the next world, to take him in. The tzaddikim, the honest people, have been ingathered. They have retreated. They have removed themselves from the scene, from this arena. And there's no one to help me. I'm living in the Alma, the Shikra, where everyone is telling lies to Shaul, and everyone is spying on me. They're trying to find me and give me over to him. Let's go further.
In the Be'er Amilos, it's exactly what it says. It says, "Pasul Inyan Efes Va'ayin."
Ceases to exist. Okay, that's that's a different. That's a. I think so. It could very well be that there's a disagreement. According to the Malbum is there saying is that the word pasul means they don't exist. Period. Rashi doesn't go so far to say the word don't exist. He used the word afsu. Afsu literally means to be gathered in. Gathered means they're waiting to fight another day. They're it's a sleeping lion, at this moment, they realize it's not productive. It's not productive to be out there, and fight. They're gonna lose. But doesn't mean that they're gone. They're there. They just have retreated.
Asaf and Afas are not the same thing. Gathered. It's not
Fasu.
It's not
Efes. Efes,
that's a different. Yeah.
Right. So Efes, the Mitsuda, the Malbum says like exactly Efes va'ayin. Zero.
Yeah.
Nada. Nothing. According to the Malbum. I'm trying to suggest that the Malbum and Rashi disagree. The Malbum is not a person disagree with Rashi, the Malbum is going on a different track. According to the Malbim, he's telling the word of Pasu comes from the word they don't exist. They're dead. They're dead. They're gone. They have been eliminated. There's literally no one out there. No one out there to do anything for me ever. According to Rashi, he doesn't say it with such an intensity. Rashi seems to say the word Pasu comes from the word of Afsu. Afsu means to be collected, to be gathered in, which means they are temporarily, and they have retreated. It says in the pasuk, "Vayigva vayosef el amav." In the context,
that's the same word. I don't understand why you say asaf and afas are the same word.
What's the letter? Pei samach, right?
Yeah.
Pei samach. The word afsu, aleph,
is not the same as aspu.
What are the letters? Look at the letter. There's a pei and a samach.
It's a different word.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why is it different? Because we're missing the aleph. Just because we're missing one letter, that makes a different word? Not necessarily. We have many times we do this.
You can't just turn.
There are two
backwards.
Letters. There are two letters that are the same. This is not uncommon. Two of the three letters, and guess what, in the same order also. Pei samach vav. Aleph pei samach.
Right.
So you're not going to tell me that there's a relationship between the word ofsu and the word pasu?
No. You keep going back to gathering.
Yes, in gathering.
That's not the word for gathering.
In gathering.
Baye osef. Osef is not the same word.
Why not? Okay, yes. Fine. All right. I'm not going to argue. Fine.
Chag ha'osif is the gathering.
The in-gathering. When you.
Chag ha'ofis.
Okay, fine, fine.
Osif, it's not office.
I'm trying to say.
Words are complex.
You want to play, fine. But
okay,
I
fine.
See it.
Rashi says, kimoi ofsu. V'chein posar menachim. Malbum doesn't say that. He says, pasu me'inyan efes vo'ayin. So I feel that with the approach of the Malbum is completely different than the approach of Rashi. The Malbum says the word pasu means they have been eliminated. They do not exist, period. According to Rashi, the term of su is a different word. It's not efes v'ayin. The word of su has a connotation is that they exist, but not here. They are in retreat. All right, it's not important. Let's go fight. It's not important. Let's go further. Belay volef. Belay pasta gimel and rashi. Bishnei livavos. There are two hearts. Li marim shalom. But v'yesh sina temuna bilibam. That's not what Metzudas David said. Metzudas David said is their tongue is a shaliach of one heart and the other heart is silent. Rashi says, when they speak to me, they speak to me with one heart, but the other heart is deceitful. The other heart is looking to find, it hates me. Okay, it's the same type of idea. There are two hearts. They are phonies. They have two hearts. Belev volev yidaberu. When they speak to me, they make believe they love me. They speak to me with one heart, but their other heart has a hatred for me and is looking for an opportunity to bring upon me harm. Very similar to what the Metzudas David said. Let's do one chazal here before we conclude. Pasuk Aleph from the bottom. Lamatzech alaz shminis mizol David ton rabbanim chavim yishol shesivan kol shparuchu bemitzvahs. This is a very interesting medrash. 7. There's a very famous pasuk. Sheva bayoyim hilal ticha. 7 by day I will praise you. Al mishpitei tzidkecha. The subject is Klal Yisrael. The Jewish people every day praise Hashem with the number 7. What 7? What are you talking about? What 7 are we referring to in reference to our praise of Hashem? So go back to the Midrash again. Chaviv in Yisrael shesibavon HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'mitzvahs. Tefillin b'roshehem. Utefillin b'zroi oisehen. V'tzitzis b'vigdehen. U'mezuzo l'pischehen. V'aleihem Omar David sheva bayoim hilalticha al mishpetei tzidkecha. Now, this is a really good mystery novel over here. How do you get from these words here the number 7? You have tefillin shel roish, tefillin shel yad, tzitzis, mezuzah. In my book, that's 4. How did you go from 4 to 7? So what are you going to play around with? How are you going to play around?
Tzitzis
from,
is 4.
Oh, so what did you say? Tzitzis, or Michal said, oh, tzitzis, there are 4 corners. Oh, there are 4 corners. So that's 4. Then the mezuzah is 1, that's 5. Tefillin shel yad is 6, and tefillin shel rosh is 7. So the tzitzis, a garment has 4 corners, you give the distinction of it being 4 to get to the number 7. But the tefillin, no, the tefillin is 2. There's only 2. Aren't there 4 parshiyos in the tefillin? Don't the tefillin have 4 components on top? Doesn't the mezuzah have 2 parshiyos? Why did the mezuzah get such the tzitzis get such chashivos that we consider it to be 4 to get to this magic number?
Maybe because you can see it.
What?
You can see it.
So the tefillin, you can also see on the tefillin shel rosh there are 4 compartments. It's true, the tefillin shel yad you can't. Okay, so you can play around with what you want over here. It is still a mystery. This requires some real good fancy drush to explain this very mysterious medrash that has its own number system that takes the number 4. Oh, that's what it means in the pasuk. Sheva bayoim hilal ticha. With the number 7, every single day we praise you. We praise you with the number 7. The tzilin shel roish, the tzilin shel yad, the tzitzis bevigdehen, umzuzul lepislehen. We count the tzilin shel stimulus. That's what it means. Tzilin shel yad is 1, tzilin shel roish is 2. Tzitzis, we're counting as 4, even though it doesn't say that. 4 corners. And the mezuzah, the pisrei, and that creates the number 7. Very interesting. Now, how does it apply to this pasuk over here? Uvishah, shenichnas David lebeis hamerchatz, v'roh atzmai omei orim. Now, here we come to number 8. Yeah. David went into the beis hamerchatz. Now, in the beis hamerchatz, is there a mezuzah? When you go to the mikvah, do you first kiss the mezuzah when you go into the mikvah? No. Never saw anyone kiss the mezuzah on the way into the mikvah, because there is no mezuzah on the mikvah. When you go to the mikvah, do you go with your tzitzis on? There are some people. I saw someone go with the yarmulke on once. You go in, really?
Yeah, listen, sometimes you forget. I've gotten in the shower with my yarmulke.
No, he didn't forget. He didn't forget. He went in deliberately. He didn't want to be Megal Rosh. He's a holy person. Okay, so in the Beis Hamer, in the mikvah, there is no mezuzah. And there is no tefillin in the mezuzah. And there's no tzitzis in the mezuzah.
You mean
in the mikvah. So what do you got? I got nothing. So David HaMelech was in the... This medrash elaborates more than the Gemara says. David was in the Beis HaMerchatz. And David said, you know, this medrash applies a little more flavor. David, what about the pasuk? Sheva bayoim hilal ticha. What about the pasuk Sheva Bayom? I'm ordinarily surrounded by 7. Ordinarily I'm wearing tzitzis, is a mezuzah on the door, and tulun shal yad, tulun shal roish. And now here I am in the base of America, I got nothing. Lamnatzeach al hashminis. I have here number 8. What's number 8? The bris milah. Even in the base of America, I still have the bris milah.
What about the pays?
The pays haroish?
Yeah.
I don't know why the pairs are what we have to have to think about this. The pairs haroish, that's not what you do. Pairs haroish is loy sakif, don't remove.
Right.
It's different. Bris milah is something that you have to do.
It's
a ma'isa. You have a ma'isa to remove the arla. The pairs just don't cut them off. Do no harm. Loy sakif u pa'as roishchem. So l'chor that doesn't qualify. So therefore it says v'atzma. So here's. In the Vishah Shenichnas Tavel Beis Hamerchatz Vro Atzmei Omer Adam Amar Oili She'emoid Oroim Beloi Mitzvah Vekevon Sheniska B'Milosoi Shebe B'Soroi Nisyash V'Daitoi La'achas Yotza Amar Olech Hashira. That's this Mizmar. This Mizmar was composed when David came out of the Beis Hamerchatz. And he said, ah, even though I don't have Sheva Bayoim Hilal Ticha, I have 8. Now this is mind-boggling. This is over here is shocking because, wait a minute, the number 8 comes after the number 7. If you don't have 7, you don't have 8. You don't have 8. What's going on over here? It's 8 is only when you have a foundation of 7. If you take away the 7, there is no 8. So how can this... There's something wrong with it. I mean, you can say, you know, you can say, oh, it's cute. 7. I don't have 7, but I have number 8. Well, 8 comes after 7. If I don't have 7, if I don't have lamatzeya, if I don't have sheva bayom hilal ticha, so what's the 8? At a bris mila, the minig is that the moyel and the avi haben. And people in the shulah chatzim, as we mentioned before, should be wearing their tefillin and their tzitzis. What about a mezuzah? It's very interesting. The Beis HaKnesses does not require a mezuzah. Interesting. Does not require a mezuzah. In ancient times, did they have the bris milah in the shul? It seems like this. I'm not sure. Or they had the chotzer? Did they have in the bayis? I don't know. Let's assume what?
The house.
And the house. Did they? Was that? Is it a new thing to have the bris milah in the Beis HaKnesses? It's not so simple. It seems there's a lot of rabbinic literature that you should gedafka have the bris milah in the Beis HaKnesses. There's so much information, there's so much Torah on this. The Nusach HaTfilah is different. Okay, I don't know. There's today a lot of
people. Today, Eretz Yisrael, a lot of people.
They don't. They don't do it. I know. For practical reasons, they don't do it. In Lakewood, they don't do it. Lakewood, it's very, very common not to have a bris milah in the Beis HaKnesses. They have it in the hall. They do the actual ceremony in the hall, not in the shul. Very, very common in Lakewood. And here in Flatbush, it's not so. Traditionally, you have to be. There's so much Torah. On where in the shul should, where in the shul do you put the baby? The nusach hatzilah. You also wear towels and tefillin. I don't know. Shulchan Aruch, it's mashma that the ideal place to have the bris milah is in the Beis HaKnesses. But let's put that aside. Think about it. But let's say, indeed, let's assume that there is an inyan to have the bris milah in the bayis. So isn't it amazing? You're in the bayis and there's a bris milah. And your mamash, at the time of the bris milah, it's sheva bayoin hilal ticha. You are surrounded in your bayis by seven mitzvahs. The mezuzah is on the door, as it says in Mishnah Berurah, the avi haben and the moil and the sandik, they're wearing talis and tefillin. And then what do? Lamatzeach al hashminis. We have seven, and now we have eight. David goes to the Beis HaMerchatz, there's no seven. There's no seven, yet the eight, you can never take away the eight. The eight will always remain. I mean, you have to go back to the source. The moment when there was a bris milah, you need a fact. You can't have the eight unless you have the seven. So the moment when the bris milah was done in the presence of seven. That created a foundation to create that eight. That eight is so powerful. Mr. Cohn, can you close the door maybe? I think there's some cold air coming in over here. Can you see if the door is open? Can you see if the door is open? Even though the seven fall away, the eight always remains. Number eight will always remain. The seven and the eight is needed. The seven you need for the foundation.
Right,
I can feel it. The seven is, you know, like when the question is, how can you have an eight if you don't have a seven? So I'm trying to suggest you need the seven when you give the bris. When you establish the child will only be zechut to the bris milah when he comes from a family that is, L'chatchil, of course, is observant of a bias. A child is born into a bias, a Jewish home with a mezuzah, and the child has parents that wear tzitzis and tefillin with all that it represents. A child comes into a world that is surrounded by a family of seven, and then the child is given number eight. You can't have the eight unless you have the foundation of a family. A Jewish family that has the seven. A Jewish bias, a mezuzah is the bias. The father is melubish, betalis, and tefillin, all that it represents. Now you have the seven, now you zecha to number eight. That is so powerful that even if a person goes into a matzav where he's unable to have the seven, that eight will always be with him, even when the seven is taken away, even when the seven is temporarily removed. Go to Shmini Atzeres. What is Shmini Atzeres? The same exact thing. Shmini Atzeres, Ikvu Yoyim Echad. That's 7 days with Hashem. 7 days of all that Sukkot captures. And then you come to number eight, Shmini Atzeres. What is Shmini Atzeres? You've built a foundation of seven. But you know something? This celebration of seven, it's not going to be with you the whole year. You're going to go back to your Diras Keva. You're not going to have Yulul and Yesrik. You're not going to have the Nisach HaMayim, the Ruach HaVisham Shavim, Ruach HaKodesh. You're not going to have all the Bracha of the seven. But let's now do eight. Ikvu imi yoyim echad. Let's create a bond. That bond will be for your benefit. So when you, the next day, when the seven disappear, eight will always remain with you. What do you take out of the festival of Sukkot, you take home with you the Shmini Atzeres. That stays with you the whole year. Is Sisu v'Simcha v'Simchas HaTorah, everything which the eight will always, but that eight can only be established on a foundation of seven. The whole year is a base hamerchatz. That's what I'm trying to say. The whole year is, we're in the base hamerchatz. What do we got? We have Shmini Atzeres. That stays with us. Sisu v'simchu v'simchas haTorah. We have the theme of Shmini Atzeres in the full picture that remains. That Shmini Atzeres can only be established with a foundation of seven. Just like a child, he gets the bris milah surrounded by a foundation of seven. And then when that seven temporarily disappears, the Beis HaMerchatz, the bris milah is still there. No matter what. Sukkos is the culmination of the Shalosh Regalim. That's the seven. That's necessary to build the foundation of Shmini Atzeres. And then when we go into the rest of the year, the seven is not always there the rest of the year. But the Shmini Atzeres is there. Okay, stop over here, take a short break. And after the break,